toughest of all jobs. I wonder if there are candidates a preacher's wife cannot win. If she has talent, she's showing off. If she doesn't have talent, why didn't he marry someone with talent? If she does not have children, she's showing a poor example. And if she does have children, they are too expensive to call. If she dresses well, she's spending her husband's money. If she doesn't dress well, she's hindering his ministry. What woman in her right mind would want to marry a preacher? A congregation does well to remember that she is the minister's wife and not the church's wife. Nevertheless, she is the first lady of the congregation. She must resign to certain expectations. She must live with them. Now let's look at a very gracious lady whom Paul knew and respected. She is Priscilla, the wife of Aquila, who was a hard-working missionary. She's mentioned 6 times in the New Testament, and these references give us a picture of a very interesting woman. Above all her virtues, Priscilla was loyal to her husband. Aquila's name means the eagle. Aquila led a wandering life. He had to move. There was a thrust in this man, as there is in most preachers. We read of him first at Pontus, then at Rome, then at Corinth, then at Ephesus, then at Rome, and back again to Ephesus. It wasn't an easy life for a wife to follow, but she never faltered, never issued an ultimatum, never refused to pack and unpack. The two names are always found together. They sound like harmony when you read them in the New Testament, Aquila and Priscilla, and they get equal billing. Often she is mentioned first. It shows that one of the smartest things Aquila ever did was to sign the marriage certificate. He might never have made it without her. I remember beautiful lines Major Bowes would quote about his wife in the early days of network radio, when his program, The Amateur Hour, was the listening habit of the nation. He would say of her, "I hope you may live 1,000 years. And I 1,000 years less one day, so that I may never know you passed away." You learn so much studying your Bible. Aquila was a Jew of Pontus, a remote land on the shore of the Black Sea at the perimeter of civilization. Priscilla is a diminutive or pet form of Prisca, which is a Roman name. It means ancient. It certainly didn't describe her age. That would be an insult to any woman. It was a favorite in Rome because it meant ancient blood. It was aristocratic. It would indicate that she was a Roman lady of social standing. She had fallen in love with a Jew from nowhere. He was a believer, and the bonds of Christ were sufficient to bring together and hold together these extremes in culture and privilege. When Aquila was expelled from Rome in one of the first Jewish persecutions in history, she never looked back. She never changed her mind or had second thoughts. She determined to follow her husband, if need be, to the ends of the earth, and toward any deprivation Jesus might ask them to invest in his cause. God bless our missionaries and wives. Theirs is the nobility of heaven. A minister's wife was once asked, "What place would you like best to live in?" And she replied immediately, "Where my husband is the happiest." A man has 2 loves, his work and his woman. His work is very exacting. It will not yield first place, never. He is a wise wife who refuses to be jealous. It is said of the wife of Pasteur, the great scientist, that from the first she resolved that the laboratory must come before everything, and she kept her vow. On the 35th wedding anniversary, she wrote to one of the children, "Your father is absorbed in his thoughts, talks little, sleeps little, rises at dawn, and in one word, continues the life I began with him this day 35 years ago. Oh, yes, there's a touch of pain, but it is a sacrifice of a wife that must make that sacrifice. And a preacher's wife must accept that her husband's pulpit comes first. Second, Priscilla was loyal to the church. They came to Corinth. They needed to make a living. It was a city adaptable to fortune hunters. It was a city of luxury and sin. But they found something far better. They discovered a cell of charismatic believers and the reality of the Pentecostal message. And so it was here they met Paul. He had come from Athens depressed. He arrived at Corinth with renewed determination to know nothing save Jesus and him crucified. Paul was at that moment without funds, and Providence led him to the warehouse of Aquila. Both were acquainted with the tent and awning business, and a strong friendship was born. One thing is certain. Paul had to share Jesus. Paul's life was contagious. It wasn't long until this couple were fellow helpers in Christ. Then Paul determined to go to Ephesus. Aquila and Priscilla resolved to liquidate a prospering business and accompany Paul. And God honored that resolve. They invested their assets in a spacious house, and they began that church in the house. And they followed this tactic wherever they went. They opened their home to neighbors and started services in the home. Paul pays high tribute to Aquila and Priscilla. He says that they were willing to lay down their necks to save his life. It's a compliment that life doesn't reward too often. This housewife put the cause of Jesus ahead of her furniture, her privacy, her security. She wanted her home to be used for the gospel. And I'll tell you this. It is the church in the house that makes it possible to have the church in the auditorium. A wife must decide that the house is a place where husband, children, friends realize that Jesus is resident. And until that wife does, there won't be any attendance at Sunday school or a husband in the choir or among the ushers. Third, Priscilla was loyal to the truth. While they were in Ephesus, an interesting preacher arrived from Alexandria. He was Apollos, a man of eloquence, and he was mighty in the scriptures. He had, however, a serious defect. The only Jesus he knew was an ethical Jesus, that is, Jesus as a preacher of righteousness, the Jesus of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus as prophet, but not as priest and king. He had declaimed passionately against sin. He called on his audience to repent and follow the example of Jesus, but when you asked what turning to Jesus meant, he was very vague and left you confused. Priscilla and Aquila found both pleasure and pain in listening. Apollos was gifted. He was persuasive. He preached morality. Something was missing. Paul had preached a living Christ, and in demonstration and in power. Now the question was how to guide Apollos. It's a delicate task to approach a gifted and popular preacher. Paulus was a university man, but Priscilla accepted the challenge. It may have been over a tasty meal, we read. They instructed him in the way of God more perfectly. They themselves had been fed on Paul's strong meat, and they offered truth to this man of letters. They were alive with Jesus. Apollos sensed the difference. They made Calvary a reality to this moralist. They shared the grace of God with the preacher. Apollos was not offended. His candid mind received instruction, and Apollos, who knew only the baptism of John, received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Apollos knew a change. The preacher of sin became a preacher of salvation. The teacher of morals became an ambassador of Christ. And a little later, Apollos went to Corinth. There as an evangelist, he preached his newfound revelation of Jesus so effectively, so brilliantly, with such fervor that he even eclipsed the success of Paul in that city. How tactful Priscilla must have been. It's never, never easy to instruct a preacher, especially one who has been to a university. There was a heart of kindness in this woman, a beautiful manner. They're required above all in a minister's wife. Loyalty to the truth with love, that's the target. There's no place for an acid tongue. Aquila was a better witness because of a wife who could tell him his faults, but always constructively, always in a sweet and winning way, determined to help, never to hinder his soul. Fourth, Priscilla was loyal to the Lord Jesus. The final reference to her is in 2 Timothy. It was Paul's last letter. Paul did not have time before his execution to list a long file of friends. Three only are mentioned out of Ephesus. And two of these are Salute Priscilla and Aquila. 10 years have passed. The marriage is solid. Their testimony for Jesus unabated. Some had turned away, but not Aquila and Priscilla. There's a very old church on the Aventine in Rome, which is dedicated to Priscilla. Tradition says it was originally the church in her house. A preacher's wife or a missionary's wife must reconcile herself to always host that church in her house. It's inevitable, a part of her calling. Priscilla is a woman whose radiance was loyalty. You could count on her. She fades into history. Perhaps her life ended in martyrdom in Rome's Colosseum. Perhaps the end came gently and she slept away in Jesus in the quiet of that house. She had so often made a temple of God. But she is an example for this strange, strange profession, the preacher's wife. And perhaps to be a preacher's wife is the greatest ordination of all. I can think of none greater. Priscilla was among the first ladies of all time. And I want you to think of your minister's wife as that. Before us are the sweetest of all moments. They are precious in confession, forgiveness, restoration, fellowship, and victory. So let's enjoy them together as we find again the long, long altar in these next 10 seconds. Gregory Thomas of Staten Island, New York, loves the long, long altar. Station WOR brought it into his home, and he says, Brother Ward, 1 year ago you led me to Jesus. I am 14, he says. I could never have imagined living for Jesus could be so good. The Bible has come alive for me, and I feel you are my spiritual daddy. Luella Knutson knelt with us at Darlington, Wisconsin. Donald, a nephew, had been stricken with cancer, but something happened. Luella says, medical authorities can find no trace of cancer now. What a miracle Jesus has performed. Ada B. Long finds the long altar reaching toward her at Richmond, California. He came with an itching, tormenty, scaly scalp. And she testifies, I felt the power of God in my body as I knelt with you. This disease has totally disappeared. Well, he lives, folk. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. Lord, we would have the Holy Spirit in us exalt thee, that thou be high and lifted up. We make our confession before men that thou art the only begotten Son of God, Savior, Messiah. We rejoice in so great salvation. The mighty outreach of Calvary taught us. Thy blood is always speaking better things for us. Thou art the great shepherd caring for us. I pray for the construction workers exposed to outside weather conditions. Grant thy presence to these builders. I pray for those who fish in our seas to provide our tables with tuna and salmon and halibut. Be with them through wave and through wind. I thank thee for athletes who are giving testimony to thee. Bless this witness to our nation. O God, we seek thy answers and thy message and victory toward inflation and violence and untrustworthiness in government. Move upon White House and Congress that it might be truly said again, in God we trust. Amen. Jesus is the high priest and his office is mediator. He comes between. His intercession is the believer's big plus. And I sense in my spirit that at the long, long altar here, at the meeting, there's a dear woman who has kept a prayer request before the throne for 10 years. Now that request will be answered within 10 days. Begin to praise the Lord. He is faithful. He has been pleased with your faith, your persistence. Jesus wants you to rejoice now in the answer. It will be a great testimony among your relatives. Yes, I'm his servant evangelist. The Holy Spirit brought you into this circle, the meeting. It's a high order to be led by the Spirit. Any of us can choose to attend buildings and participate in a set form of worship. But to be directed by heaven is something different. And the soul must be alert. Heaven guarantees the reappearance of Jesus. He will come as a thief. Suddenly every graveyard will be disturbed, and within a wink, those who shall not taste death will be caught up. There'll be no time for discussion or a phone call. The Holy Spirit will make you ready, for it's not by might or by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord.